Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
Why do they call you Maurice?
I speak of the pompous of love.
Oh, got it. The pompous of love. That makes it all clear now. It's Friday morning. This is Up North News. Pat Kreitlow along with Luke Mathers on Dad Shirt Friday. Something that is someday going to be a national celebration, but it's still very much in its early stages. And there are no set rules. There aren't firm rules on dad shirts. Certainly, it needs some guidelines, as we discovered with Luke's Hawaiian shirt recently. But now, like today, he's got a very classy, looks to be kind of gray with dark prints on it. And did you call them fish?
Yeah, I got they're like fish. It's a fishing shirt, I believe.
All right,
it's a nice Columbia.
And being worn with a Brewers ball cap, mm-hmm. which is again totally allowed. Has very much a dad vibe to it. And this is whatever my wife got me from Duluth Trading Company, where about 90% of everything I'm wearing comes from. Again, with just looks to be a lot of jungle foliage on here. So it got us wondering last week, what's the difference? What's the difference between a what I would call a dad shirt, a Hawaiian style shirt, a bowling shirt, and then something I hadn't heard of before called a camp shirt, which is, I guess, basically where the whole dad shirt thing comes from in my mind. And it turns out, I mean, there's differences. They're small, but all three, it says, according to one person answering online on, is it Quora? Quora. All three have a similar motif of being short-sleeved, having the same fabric and overall casual cut with a flat hem. What distinguishes them, the Hawaiian shirt has bright floral designs. The camp shirt is usually plain and always has a camp collar, basically the type of collar that opens up flat at the top part, very vintage design. And bowling shirts are always made in earthy collars. It looks like earthy colors with vertical stripes starting from top to bottom. And I am definitely not a bowling shirt person. But it then did get me to wondering, what the heck is a camp collar? And of course, since the internet has everything, there is a site called The Helm Clothing with an article called The History of the Camp Collar Shirt and How to Wear It. And posing as the model for it is a young man who I will never look that cool. And yet he's managing to pull off a dad shirt or a camp collar shirt. I'd actually call that one more of a pajama top because it's blue with white polka dots. I don't know if white polka dots constitutes a dad shirt. They write, known sometimes as a Cuban shirt or pajama collar or bowling shirt or cabana shirt or aloha shirt or safari shirt. How come they didn't include that shirt? The camp collar shirt has a long history that places it right in the middle of essential summer style. It's a must-have for the season, teetering toward the casual side, but easy enough to dress up when the occasion calls for it. Yeah, I mean, we tuck it in, and then people call us dork. Says, if you don't have a few in your closet yet, it's time to stock up. And then it gets more into the characteristics of it. The biggest feature is a collar that is soft, double-notched, one-piece, sewn directly to the body of the shirt that allows the collar to lay flat against the shirt, which is definitely not what I have on right now because the collar buttons, but Luke does have his wide open. And then it gets into the whole history of it, you know, coming from probably from Cuba or the Philippines. And it's just, you know, having that collar down flat makes it a good shirt for working outdoors. But then, of course, we go deeper down the rabbit hole.
What? There's more to this rabbit hole?
Having now discovered that a dad shirt is essentially a camp shirt, meaning it has a camp collar, just what is it about collars? And yes, on the internet, you can find articles about the history of the collar. And in this case, something called Mel Magazine says the history of men's shirt collars is all about social class and avoiding laundry. They write, for an essentially unnecessary piece of fabric around your neck, the shirt collar can be a surprisingly meaningful feature. Can a bro truly bro without a popped polo shirt collar? Is an obscenely wealthy man really dressed if he doesn't have a starched collar as pure as snow before a dog peed on it? And really, if someone asked you to draw William Shakespeare right now, the most recognizable thing about him would probably be the double XL collar that makes it look like he got frustrated after writing and stuck his head through a piece of paper. Despite our modern association of epic shirt collars with old-timey garb, collars actually did not show up in the Western world until the mid-1400s. Prior to that, people had what you'd call a scoop neckline or a boat neckline. But somewhere along the line, people took a liking to collars, and we have dealt with all manner of them ever since. And so they get into the ruffled collars, and you've seen that in the paintings, Luke, you know, the great big, you know, it's basically it's grandma's doily on steroids after you take it off the coffee table. And so they walk through all of that. They eventually get us into, there were detachable collars. Remember those from like the 1920s? On and on we go till we see the what is now known as the white collar and the blue collar. And that started to creep into the vernacular, it says here, in the 1910s. And it was the Nebraska Weekly News Journal wrote about a man who, quote, had the good sense to leave a cheap white collar job, deny himself fleeting luxuries, take up the cross and follow the plow. And notes that blue collar came into its own in the 1930s. The distinction had to do again with laundry. Workers at desk jobs could keep their white shirts clean, but the people with dirtier jobs favored darker fabrics that hid the dirt more easily. So there you go. It turns out that there is, I mean, we know styles change, but we I don't know. How do you put it? I lived through the 70s. I'm trying to somehow work back in that even in my life, all 58 years of it, I've seen several manners of collar. And there's no shortage of photos of me as a kid in the 70s with the big, wide, you know, disco collars, which I guess, does that make them a camp collar if they lay flat? Because they laid flat, but you could also flap that collar and fly to Cuba, you know, for as big and wide as those things are. Instead, we have, I don't know, we haven't evolved that much more since the 70s. We had the 80s with the pop collars, which the magazine here calls the calling card of dads and douchebags, the polo shirt that came about in the 80s. I did not understand when people were popping the collars, but I was very much a part of the difference between in the 70s, when if you were wearing a sweater, your collar was out. You took it out and, you know, it was open over the sweater collar, the crew neck. And then at some point, of course, I missed it at the time. I was years late, but now your shirt collar stays tucked into your crew neck on your sweater. You look like a refugee from the 70s if you have that collar outside the shirt or outside the sweater. Or Luke, have I missed something entirely? And I'm missing some other fashion trend that I'm not going to be aware of until my grandkids start laughing at me.
No, I think I don't keep up with the fashion trends. Whatever you feel comfortable and whatever looks good with you is what you should do. So depending on the sweater and the shirt, you can put the collar inside or outside. It doesn't really matter in my opinion, but I don't know.
Kind of hippie are you?
I'm one of those people that's like, oh, that's what everybody's doing. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Just cool. Kind of, you know, yeah. Do what you want. Yeah. Live, let live.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who you'd get along with, who's in the headlines today yet again.
Who's that?
The Prime Minister of Finland, Sanna Marin, known as the coolest politician in the world, a 36-year-old who is once again in trouble. Because she had the audacity to attend a music festival with her friends.
Did she leave her phone at home again?
Dancing.
Did she leave her phone at home again?
I don't think she did this time.
Okay.
But there was, you know, more footage posted to Instagram of Marin and other partygoers bopping along to Finnish pop music. And when the beat drops, they break out into dance with a purple haze of neon party lights. And so some critics, you know, called her behavior childish and accused her of not staying focused on Finland's cost of living crisis. Others have asked, what's the big deal? You know, her age and her gender make her a particular target of criticism in a world led by mostly older men. I'm sure that if there's another insult that's used against her in Finland with her and her friends, I'm sure it's the squad. I'm sure she's referred to as the squad at some point. But Marin said, look, I have a family life, I have a work life, and I have free time to spend with my friends. Pretty much the same as all people my age. She says the videos were private and filmed in a private space, and I resent that these became known to the public. Well, I'm with her on the first half of that you should have some free time. You should have some time with your friends. But I think we've all learned now there's no such thing as a private video. You just don't. I can never walk into a room where I see a microphone and somebody says, oh, don't worry, it's off. No, it's not. There is no privacy, because not only is the microphone potentially on, my phone is listening to me and almost reading my mind. And saying such a thing used to get you locked up. And now it's perfectly normal to say, I think that speaker over there is listening to me, because it is. So no, Prime Minister, there is no such thing as private videos. And that's fine. I mean, she did apologize back in December when it was learned that she stayed out at a Helsinki nightclub until 4 a.m. and didn't have her cell phone. And that's the one you're referring to, Luke. And, yeah, you know, that's when she would have learned that a close contact had tested positive for coronavirus. She did not end up contracting it. But, you know, her political rivals, apparently there can be douchebag politicians in all parties. Her political rivals now call on her to undergo voluntary drug screening. A member of one of the parties says the people are allowed to expect this from their prime minister. And Marin fired back, saying that she's willing to take a drug test, but that she has not used drugs or anything other than alcohol. And, you know, then there's a newspaper editorial saying that she is a security risk when she does this. I mean, and this is a lot to put on somebody who was the world's youngest national leader, elected at the age of 34 back in 2019. She's part of a small group of presidents and prime ministers elected in their 30s, including the prime minister of New Zealand and of El Salvador. And if she's going to, you know, continue to want to actually have a real life, well, she's going to have to face that criticism. I think she's used to it, and I applaud her for it. I think that's also something that we're seeing in having a Senate candidate in Mandela Barnes, who's in his mid-30s and, you know, has had some of the foibles that young adults have had. But as Prime Minister Marin says, you know, when you work hard, you can play hard. And as one person said on Twitter, is Santa Marin the only chief executive on earth to have documented friends? And isn't that a refreshing change of pace? We'll be back with more after this. You're up north. Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree.